John 16. In beginning in verse number 1, the Word of God says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." This is Jesus Christ talking to his disciples. "They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning," or said not unto you, excuse me, "at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will shew you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall shew it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall shew it unto you." I want to look at about seven truths, in John chapter 16. And the first one I want to look at in verses 1 and 2, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." Now, I don't know if this is a very doctrinal application of the time of the tribulation. When you look at the time, things were going on there too at that time, but that time was set up where the tribulation could have happened there and the millennial reign could have happened there. But you think of the tribulation time, a time of Jacob's troubles, a time for the Jews, a time appointed to Daniel's people. I mean, we're going to be out of here. This church is going to be gone. If you're not saved today, you need to call on Jesus Christ, trust him before it's too late. I believe we're at the door. I believe Jesus is knocking at the end of Laodicea saying, "Hey, let me in." And I believe most folks don't want him. Most folks don't care about him. Most folks make fun of him, ridicule him, reject him. And I believe he's about ready to call the church out of here. Then you get in that time of Jacob's troubles, that time for Daniel's people, where God's going to use the wrath of God and the wrath of the devil to turn Israel back to him. He's going to use that time, and they're going to think it's right to kill the Jews because they don't know God. They don't know God. As a matter of fact, they got the wrong God. And most of this world has the wrong God. I mean, it's amazing to me how receptive people are to truth until you really get to the truth. I mean, everybody wants to know about God. I talk to people all the time, want to know about Jesus Christ. And I'm amazed that the younger people that are interested in finding truth now, but they don't want truth if it goes against what they've been taught. You know, if the truth is, you shall know the truth shall make you free. The truth is, you're bound in your sins, you're bound in your trespasses, you're sold under the bondage of sin until you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Truth is, it's not about your works, it's about the finished work on Calvary. People don't like that. Some people appreciate it and they accept it. Amen. But a lot of people don't like it. They take that personal. If you say, "Well, all your righteousnesses are filthy rags," they're like, "Oh, well, apparently you don't know my righteousness." Well, apparently you don't know the Bible, because that Bible says all of your righteousness. That Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The only righteous person that ever existed, walked this earth, is Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul wasn't righteous. Right. Peter wasn't righteous. Yep. Hey, the Pope's not righteous. Amen. Your pastor's not righteous, right. Amen. Unless you go to this church and he's close. No, your pastor's a mess, amen. The guy's a mess. You ought to be praying for him. Shame on you for not praying enough to get this guy some righteousness, amen. Hey, your pastor's not the answer. That Bible and Jesus Christ is the answer. I mean, you can go kiss the Pope's ring. You can get dunked in every baptismal in four counties. You can do everything you want to do. Think you're going to earn your way to heaven. You'll split hell wide open until you trust the righteousness of Christ. You're going to be wrong. But people take offense to that. Well, you just don't understand. Okay, well, maybe I trusted Christ, but I got to work to keep it. Well, good night. That puts you on the same level as Jesus Christ then. How about the fact that He died for your sins and saved you eternally, and you work because you loved Him, not because you have to? Amen. Amen. See, God set this thing up so you don't have to love Him. But we love Him because He first loved us. You make a choice to love Him. He doesn't just say, well, okay, you're saved, now I'm going to make you do everything to glorify me. He says, you've got an opportunity first time in your life after you're born again, after you're a new creature. Hey, you must be born again. Once you're born again, you're a new creature, you have an opportunity to actually glorify God. Amen. Not these feeble attempts the world are, you know, well, I just think if I give enough money to this program, or if I do enough for that program, or maybe if I stand against this or stand for that, or if I get me an electric car, or maybe I throw them incandescent light bulbs away, which I wish we had all incandescent. I like the light better. We get them LED bulbs, you know, and you get that blue light going, and then you get to 5G, and the devil finally controls everybody. Amen. But if I just do all this stuff, and I get everything lined up, and I just do everything the way the world says to do it, and I watch CNN and Fox and try to line up with all the worldly stuff, maybe God will accept me. God's not in that mess. Hey, God don't care if you're burning coal fuel. He doesn't. You know why? Because He's going to burn this place down and start over anyway. God's probably laughing at your electric car. Amen? Amen. He's saying, I killed all those dragons back there. You should have oil, now you're burning electricity. You got to burn coal to get the electricity. You people are stupid. You think God's not looking at us thinking that?
Amen.
He probably don't care much about that. He probably just thinks we're stupid anyway, because we are. Amen? We need Him for everything. We need it, but people are offended about some things. You know what He tells His disciples? He said, they're going to think they're doing God's work when they kill you. You know what happened to them disciples? 11 of them got killed. You know how they got killed? Peter was crucified upside down. John, he was boiled in oil and sent to the land, banished to the Isle of Patmos. You think Jesus Christ doesn't know what He's talking about? But you know what? When they did that to those 12 disciples, they thought they were doing God's will. You know when they make fun of you because you believe the Bible? In their twisted mind, they think they're doing God's will because they've created their own God.
Yep.
Amen. You know what their God is? Their God's some Captain Kangaroo, Mary Poppins. Some of y'all are like, who in the world is that? Mary Poppins, Mother Teresa, Pope John, Who Daddy, or whatever. That's their God. They make up this God. They blend a little bit of everything together and say, this is my God, and I'm pleasing Him because I don't even use electric toasters anymore. I just put my toast down the sidewalk, and 4 or 5 days later, I put some butter on it, and then 3 or 4 hours later, it's melted. I'm just doing everything God wants. I'm going to save this planet, and God's going to be so happy with me. No, God's going to burn this place to the ground. Matter of fact, the elements are going to melt with the fervent heat. God don't care about this place. You know what God cares about? You.
Amen.
You know what He cares about? His Son. You know what He cares about? The blood He shed on Calvary. You know what He cares about? His Word. You know what He cares about? Whether or not you are lining up with His Word, submitting to His Word, reading it, studying it, rightly dividing it, and trying to live it. The truth about discipleship. The truth about discipleship is everybody's just not going to fall over themselves when you witness to them and say, oh, I just love you and thank you. Some people will thank you. Some people will spit on you. Some people will cuss you. Some people will laugh at you. And they think they're doing it in the name of a God. They are doing it in the name of their God, the one they've created. The truth about discipleship. Look at verse 3. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Because they have not known the Father. The truth about the religious crowd. We don't have a critter running in here, do we? Okay, I'm just checking. The truth about the religious crowd. You know what the truth is about the religious crowd? They don't know God. I mean, you go to these religious places. I'm not talking about the individuals that are in this mess. Some of these individuals are blood-bought, born again, just totally messed up. But you go to the churches that have the programs of works where they're working their way to heaven. They don't know God. They don't know God. Hey, the Lutherans that think they're working their way to get it or keep it. The Catholics think they're working their way to get it or keep it. They don't know God. The Mormons, they don't know God. The Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't know God. They don't even know what Jesus means.
Yep.
Jehovah saves.
Right.
They don't understand anything. The Seventh-day Adventists, they don't know God. Some of the individuals in these places are saved. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But as a unit, these religious folks, these leaders of these things, they're lost on the way to hell. They don't know God. And when they ridicule and mock and make fun of you, and they throw down on God, throw down on the Bible, and spit in the face of Jesus Christ and just trample His blood underfoot like it was nothing, they don't know God. They don't know God. And that's the truth about the religious crowd. The religious crowd in Jesus' day, Jesus Christ looked at them and said, "Oh, you generation of vipers." John the Baptist told them the same thing. And then Jesus tells them that the whited sepulcher is full of dead men's bones. He said, "You're all cleaned up on the outside, but you're filthy and dead on the inside. Something stinks in you." Hey, you know what? Today, if you're lost on your way to hell, something stinks in you. And if you're saved, there's something really sweet in you. It's Jesus Christ. But the truth about the religious crowd is they don't know God. They say, "Well, Jesus is not God." Or they say, "Oh, Jesus, he's a good man and he's a prophet, but I don't even want to say it from the pulpit, but I'll tell you what, he is not going to bow down to Muhammad."
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to Jesus Christ as God to the glory of the Father. Muhammad's going to do it. Pope John Paul's going to do it. Pope Francine or whoever that girl, whoever that guy is. Whoever he is wearing a dress over in Rome. That guy, he's going to bow down to Jesus Christ. Amen. Mother Teresa already been there. She's been there, done that. She's going to do it again. He's going to do it to the Great White Throne. I don't think she was saved. Amen. She was just on a bunch of works. Because she was religious. A whited sepulcher full of dead men's bones. These people are going to bow down to Jesus Christ. Hey, the Jehovah's Witnesses knock on your door. "Oh no, Jesus ain't God." They're going to bow down to Jesus Christ. You know what they're going to confess? He's God. Amen. Lord of lords and King of kings. Now how can he be Lord of lords if he's not the Lord? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital... You know what the Mormons are going to do when they find out they're not God? They're going to bow down to Jesus Christ and admit that he's God. If you're here today and you're lost on your way to hell, one day you'll bow down to Jesus Christ and admit that he's God. You might as well do it now. Amen. You might as well do it now. Hey, the truth about the discipleship is not everybody's going to accept it. Not everybody's going to like it. Some people want to kill it. They like to kill Jesus Christ. Since they can't, they'd like to kill you for it. Or kill your testimony, kill your witness, kill some. Just get you to stop. Stop picking on their righteousness. Amen? Oh, man, I get some really crazy stuff sometimes from folks. "Oh, well, you Baptist believe that. Are you?" No, I'm a Bible believer. I got a Bible. The Bible says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption." If I didn't do one good work my entire life and called on Jesus Christ, that's the only thing I had to do to get to heaven. "Well, you just think you can live like hell and do whatever you want." I don't believe that. I believe there's a judgment seat of Christ that we'll stand at. I have a Bible. I believe I can mess all kinds of things up. I don't believe I can mess up my salvation because it's not mine anyway. It's His and He put me in it. I'm born again to that resurrection power that brought Jesus out of the grave. Resurrection power is going to bring those that sleep in Christ out of the grave one of these days, hopefully soon. That resurrection power, it's going to change us into our mortal bodies into immortal. Hey, we're going to put on incorruptible.
Amen.
Through the power of the resurrection. But the truth about discipleship, the truth about religious crowd, it's all about self. It's all about pride. It's all about me, me, me. Look at verse 4. "I have glorified thee on the earth." Or excuse me, wrong chapter. Sorry about that. That's a good one too, Lois. We're going to read it. "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." That's Jesus Christ talking to the Father. Praise God. He had done that. Look at verse 4 in chapter 16. "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you." The truth about God's words. You know what the truth is about God's words? You know, He says, I told you, so when these things happen, you'll know. You know what they are? They're warning words. They warn you. You know what they're warning you of? They're warning you to stay out of hell. They're trying to tell you how to stay out of hell. You know what our jobs do? Try to give people God's word and try to tell them how to stay out of hell. Amen. And you might be doing all kinds of religious stuff. And if it's good stuff, keep doing it. But you're not doing it for God. You're doing it for you. Amen? You want to do something for God, tell people about Jesus Christ and give them some Scripture. I cannot overemphasize the importance of that track rack out there. I'm going to say it every time I'm probably in this church for the rest of my life till the Lord calls me out of here. That's got Bible verses in it. When you hand those to somebody and they read that, the Word of God's going to do something to them. Now, if they accept it or reject it, it's on them. But our job is to give them the Word of God. I'm telling you, if you're not giving them the Word of God, you're not doing your job. I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm just saying that, oh, you know, Jesus died for you and, you know, you can trust Him. That's great. And praise God. Every once in a while, somebody's already been convicted and they'll fall down, hit their face and cry out to Christ. But if you're going to deal with people, give them the Word of God. You say, well, I believe it, I live it, I try to preach it, I try to, you know. Well, give it to others. Amen? Amen. I mean, we got the truth about God's words, it's a warning word. It warns you. You know what it's warning you about if you're saved? It's warning you that it's the judgment seat of Christ coming. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is a one-time chance you have to please God, to glorify Him. And when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you're not going to be able to go, can I go back about 20 years and try over? It's done. It's done. It's over. Whatever little handful of ashes you can dust out of the other end of that thing and pull out a pearl or something, that's all you got. There's no redos. No retakes. There's no doing it over. This is it. It's warning you as a saved person, as a judgment seat of Christ. Now look, I understand this world's crazy. And I don't expect all the ladies to be out there by themselves on street corners getting spit on and yelled at and cussed. But if you've got a Bible tract in your hand, you can hand it to somebody. You can lay it on the shelf somewhere. You can put it in your mail, mail it to somebody. You can mail it to your grandkids. You can mail it to your family. You can mail it to family members at Christmas time and say, hey, I love you and I'm worried about you. I want you to read this. You can do stuff like that. Not everybody has to be out there on the front line getting attacked all the time, but you can be doing more from your home with a stamp and an envelope than a lot of people are doing on the street. Amen. Amen. But they're warning words. God's words are warning words. God's words are chastening words. You ever read that Bible and say, good night, I realize I ain't done nothing for God this week? Yeah. You ever do that? And the Lord just says, whop, and boots you right in the rear end. You're like, good night. And then He starts just cutting on you and saying, I told you to do this, you didn't do it. I asked you to do this, you didn't do it. You could have done this. You weren't even praying to ask me what you could do. You weren't getting up putting me first. You weren't doing this. And boy, the Holy Spirit's just working you over. They're chastening words. And if you never get chastened, it's because you're not a son of God. You're not adopted into the family of God. It's not because you've arrived and you're perfect, believe me. Take my word for it. It's not. You're not that person. Amen? If you're not getting chastened, if you've never been chastened by God, you're not a child of God. It's just that simple. Say, well, you can't question people's salvation. I'm asking you to question yours. If God's never punished you, are you His? The truth about God's words, they're warning words, they're chastening words, they're comforting words. They're comforting words. You know what one of the most comforting things in the Bible is? So shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. That's right next to even so come Lord Jesus. Amen. He's going to call us out of here. Amen. I hope it's soon. I'm praying that way. Amen. Been praying that way for a long time, but even praying harder now. I hope that all of us go together. I hope it is a Sunday morning. I hope it's a Sunday morning about 11:45, and you guys are like, man, I'm going to sleep. This preacher, I can't take him anymore. And everybody's happy all of a sudden. Amen. Amen. Answered prayer. The truth about God's Word. Look at 5 and 6. But now I go my way to Him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. The truth about the heart of man. You know, Jesus Christ said, I'm going my way, going the way to Him that sent me. I'm leaving. He said, none of you ask me where I'm going. But since I told you these things, now you're sorrowful. What did He tell them? I'm leaving, and tough times are coming. You know the truth about the heart of man is? Heart of man is focused on itself. Wasn't focused on Jesus Christ. Okay, you're going away, you're going to leave us, and then all these bad things are going to happen. That's when they got sorrowful. They didn't get sorrowful that they weren't going to be walking with Jesus necessarily. They got sorrowful then when He told them, hey, you're going to go through some things. Isn't that something? You know what you ought to be sorrowful over? Not walking with Christ. Where are you going? You know what He tells us, though? We got it good. Because He indwells us. He'll never leave us or forsake us.
Amen.
But you know what the problem with us is? Our heart's still the same as theirs was. It's still focused on us instead of Him. Amen. It is. It's selfish. We're selfish. We're self-centered. Hey, we're right in the middle of Laodicea. We're at the end of Laodicea, right smack in the middle of the peak of selfishness and self-righteousness and me, 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 I. Oh, it's all about me. It's all. Look at this world. Look at this world. It's all about man. All about man. And people are running to and fro doing what they do. And I'm going to tell you what, the more you start seeing things God's way, the less you want to be here. I mean, seriously. I drive to church on Sunday morning, and by the grace of God, my wife makes me come to church sometimes. I'm just being honest with you. She just makes me come and says, you'll punish me or put me in time out or something. I don't know what she's going to do. But anyway, she makes me come to church. I come to church. Sometimes I go on my own. Usually she makes me. So if I'm here today, thanks, Lori. No, but anyway, I drive down past the gas station. They got their jet skis. They got their boats. They got their yachts. They got their yachts, man. They got their yachts. They got their Maseratis out. They got their antique cars out on the weekend. You know, with their weekend license plates and all that stuff. They got all that stuff going on. And if you stop and hand everybody a tract that's out there at that gas pump, two or three of them will tell you they're saved. You know what they're doing? They're just doing what they do. They're just doing what they do because it's all about man. Well, Sundays are mine. I'm just going to go out there. I'm going to enjoy my 53 Chevy, and I'm going to go down to the, you know, get my pontoon, get my jet ski, and I'm going to go to the motorhome, go down there and do this, that, and the other. I'm going to the NASCAR races and going to the quarter-mile drags. Oh, I'll go with them to that. I like the quarter-mile drag. Not on Sunday, though. But they'll go to the NASCAR races and all this stuff, spend all this time and all this money and all this energy and all this effort. You know what they do? They work hard all week so they can wear themselves out on Sunday. You know what Sunday's supposed to be? It's supposed to be a day of rest where you focus on the Lord. So, well, rest means you can't pick up sticks like the Old Testament. No, rest means you focus on the Lord. Instead of just a couple hours a day or a couple times a day, the day. Amen. But they'll tell you they're saved. Oh, yeah, I'm saved. I go to church. When's the last time you've been? Oh, I went Christmas of 1940. You know, they'll tell you something. They went one time. And they joined that church, so they belong to it, amen. They've been there in 75 years. But they joined it, they belong to it, so they're good. Amen. Every once in a while, they'll send 25 cents into Benny Hinn, so they got to be covered, amen. But the truth about the heart of man is selfish. Look at 7 through 11. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. The righteousness is going to be gone. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. You know what the truth about conviction is? It's talking about conviction. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. The truth about conviction. You know why people aren't convicted anymore? You know why people can have the jet skis and they say they're saved and they're at the gas pump on Sunday morning headed out to do their thing? You know why they can be headed out to the campground on Sunday morning or in the middle of their camping session on Sunday morning? Why they can do all this stuff on Sunday morning? Because there's no conviction. Where's conviction comes from? It comes from the Spirit of God saying they're all lost. They're not all lost. You know what the Bible says in John 6:63? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Nobody has a Bible anymore. If they read their Bible, they'd probably put that junk up and go to church. Amen. Conviction comes from that book. Say, well, no, conviction is the Holy Spirit. That word is spirit. Wrong book, wrong spirit. Amen. But I'm telling you, if you got the right book, you got the right spirit, you can follow that spirit. It'll give you that chance. It'll convict you. It's convicting. You know why some of y'all don't read your Bible? It's convicting. Yep. Oh, I read it 3 days in a row once. I couldn't take it anymore. Amen? I started January 1st. I swore to God, I promised God on everything in the world. Well, I promise it to you. Well, I promise you I'm going to go through that Bible within the next 10 years. I'm going to start at Genesis. I'm going to go all the way to Exodus before it's over with. Amen? You get to Genesis chapter 15, you're like, whew, man, that's the roughest 3 days of my life. I don't know if I can do that. Chronicles would just wipe you out and kill you, you know, amen? But, oh, no, I'm about to turn over a new leaf, Lord. Here's this. I'm putting on my New Year's resolutions, read through my Bible, and read through it, and read through it, and read through it. And if I could see through it, I'd read the news through it, amen? I'm going to read through it. By the time you get to the end of Genesis, you're like, good night. I think I lost my salvation. I can't take it anymore. Amen? Because it'll convict you. You can open that book, and before you get to the end of Genesis chapter 3, God's all over you. Yeah. If you're out of His will at all, if you've done anything wrong, by the time the serpent's tempting Eve and he's punishing Adam and Eve and the serpent, you're like, good night, man, he done worked me over too. Amen. If you're really reading it, it's convicting. It's convicting. You know why the world don't care about God anymore? The devil has managed to get him to put the Bible away. But you know what they ought to do? I think they ought to do this. I don't care what they say about the separation of church and state. I don't think the state ought to tell you what church to go to. I believe that. That was the intent. The Danbury Baptist, by the way, that said that. That wasn't written into the Constitution or anything. But the separation of church and state, those words come from the Danbury Baptist because they didn't want the state telling people what to do with their religion. But I think the state ought to open everything they do with prayer and Bible reading from this book. every single time. And even the lost heathens will be feel guilty when they're doing the wrong thing after they just prayed and read the book. Because the Word of God's convicting. You know where you can start? We'll probably just read it every time. Sin is a reproach to any nation. To any people. Amen? Let's start there. They can just read that. Amen. The truth about conviction comes from God's Word. Look at verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. The truth about God revealing truth. The truth about God revealing truth. Think about this. I mean, we like to, you know, misquote the Bible and come up with all these things like, well, it's in the Bible, you know, the golden rule, and, you know, God will never lay on you more than you can take and all that stuff. That's not in the Bible. It doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say either one of those things. It doesn't say that. You can check it out. I've read it. I got past Genesis a time or two. Amen? It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, oh, God will never put on you more than him. He'll give you a way out of temptation. But you know what it does tell you? It tells you to study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know what our problem is? We think that we need to be, because, you know, the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. We think we ought to know everything about the Bible and be able to explain everything. I mean everything. And we forget about the important stuff. The important stuff is not how many seconds into the last 3.5 years this happens with the Antichrist. That's not the important stuff. You know what the important stuff is? Jesus Christ died for your sins. Jesus Christ shed God's blood on Calvary. Jesus Christ rose again. You're called to witness to people. You've got a Bible to give people scripture. That's the important stuff. We get so caught up in all the other stuff. We want, hey, the Greeks seek after wisdom. I want to know everything. I want to looking for some new thing. I want to be able to explain everything. I want to be able to date the rapture. Good night. They've been dating the rapture so much. I think God's just saying, I ain't coming back now. You guys upset me. I'm going to hold off another year. I wish they'd quit doing that. I mean, those rapture daters, they get, I mean, oh, it's September 12th, and September 12th gets here, September 15th, oh, wait a minute, wrong calendar. They keep kicking it down the road. Sooner or later, eventually somebody, you know what God will probably do? Ain't nobody in the world guessed a date, and he'll pick it. Yeah. He'll go, oh, what do you think of that? They'll go, well, everybody's looking, it ain't going to be this one. I know it ain't that one, because I checked out the feast, and I know everything, and I've checked out the Jewish calendar, and the Mayan calendar, and, you know, I even went back to the Indians, got a sundial, and got some arrows out. I mean, I figured it all out, and I know it can't be that date, and the Lord will go, that's when I'm coming back. Ain't nobody's going to be expecting it. Amen? Amen? We get so caught up in this junk, we forget about people dying and going to hell. You know what God will do with truth? He reveals truth to you as you can handle it. If you're walking with Him, He'll give it to you as you can handle it. You know what the problem with the Bible-believing crowd is? Is they try to get so much truth, they can't handle it. They can't handle it. They're trying to take so much meat in, they can't digest it. And their knowledge outgrows their walk. And then they're a bunch of babies running around there beating each other in the head like one of the Flintstone kids or something, man. But God will reveal truth to you as you can handle it. You hear what He said? Read this again with me. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Now I know how to apply that in the passage, but practically, there's some things you just can't handle now. Yeah. You know what I promise you? If you knew for sure, I mean, if you were 100% sure beyond a shadow of a doubt when God was coming back, you wouldn't be able to handle it. Yeah. It would mess you up. Right. You'd stay up nights. Yeah. You'd spend so much time trying to figure out what to do because you know He's coming back, you wouldn't be doing anything probably. And then you'd be faking it at the end, amen? Oh, Lord, I'm real spiritual now. I've got to be spiritual. I've got to be sure the Lord's coming back. Amen? You couldn't handle it. You couldn't handle it. If you knew exactly when, you couldn't handle it. God will give you what you need when He wants you to have it. The truth about God revealing truth is He won't overload you with truth. He'll speak to you and He'll bring you along and He'll grow you the way He wants to grow you. Just following a man, believing everything every man believes and just knowing everything every other man believes and just shoving all this hard doctrine and all this stuff into you, it's more damaging than it is good most of the time. How about the basics? I had a college professor who said the KISS method, right? Keep it simple, stupid. Let's keep it simple. Just tell people about Jesus Christ and rightly divide. I mean, there's nothing up there now, but rightly divide. Just understand there's a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, at least. Amen? That's why one's old, one's new. If they were the same, they'd be the Testament.
Yep.
But they're not. They're the old and new. So there's a difference there. Rightly divide. And don't get caught up in all this wind of new doctrine and enhanced doctrine and all this stuff. Grow with God. 13:14, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will shew you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall shew it unto you. The truth about the ultimate purpose of the Holy Spirit. The ultimate purpose of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know we got a bunch of people. I'm trying to select my words here. Got a bunch of people out there. Some of them probably saved. And they think that the Holy Spirit's all about them.
Yeah.
And it's all about, you know, look at me.
Yeah.
And I have them occasionally. Oh, you're a Baptist. Do you have the second blessing? Do you have the gift of tongues? Do you have the gift of this or that? It's always tongues is always in there. Which, if you read the list of gifts in the Bible before they went away, that was the least important.
Yep.
It was always last.
Yep.
And it was the least important. But that's one I always got. Because that's one you can fake pretty good. I mean, it's hard to fake healing. They try it on TV, but, you know, you got to pay people or lie to people. And, you know, pick him up quick. You know. Tell him he's healed and get him out of here, you know. Next. And it's always about me. I have the gift of this. I have the gift of that. You have the gift of annoying people, just like I do.
Yeah.
Amen. You can annoy people. You're good at it. That's your gift. I'm a prophet. I know what you, that's your gift. Your gift, you're annoying. But they always, it's my gift. What's your gift? Well, my gift's nothing like that. You know, my gift's the ability to run when I need to. Amen. But the purpose of the Holy Spirit, we just read it. It's not to glorify the flesh. It's to glorify Jesus Christ. Let's read it again. Let's check this out. The truth about the ultimate purpose of the Holy Spirit is not about whether or not you have a gift, and you can pat yourself on the back and you can tell everybody, hey, God's been so good to me. Give me something special he wouldn't give anybody else. He gave me the date of the rapture. He gave me his ability to speak in tongues. I can heal people. I can prophesy. He gave me a word of knowledge. If that word of knowledge comes outside that book, the devil gave it to you. Or you made it up. Either way. He shall glorify me. That's what Jesus Christ said about the Holy Spirit. For he shall receive of mine and shall shew it unto you. You know what Jesus Christ is not doing? Think about this. Jesus Christ is giving things to the Holy Spirit to give you. You know what he's not doing? Go down there and tell them they're great and pat themselves on the back and brag on themselves. Does that even make sense? You know what Jesus Christ is doing? He's telling the Holy Spirit to tell you to tell others about the sacrifice he made on Calvary and about the love of God that was shown on Calvary and about the mercy and the grace that was shown on Calvary and about the fact that they're running out of time, about the fact that heaven's real and hell's real and the choice is theirs, about the fact that, hey, once they make the wrong decision and they never make the right decision and they get to the end of their life, it's too late. The Holy Spirit's not, hey, go tell everybody about your gift. That's not the Spirit of God. It's the spirit of man or the spirit of the devil. Jesus Christ says he's telling the Holy Spirit, he's using the Holy Spirit to talk to you and talk to me. And he says in John 6:63 that word is spirit. Amen? So if you're getting talked to through the 700 Club, you better check it out. You're supposed to be getting talked to through that book and through a preacher that's preaching that book, not somebody that's, I'm getting a word. And somebody out there is burning their toast right now. But if you send me $18, I'll fix it, you know. God's not in that mess. God don't care about your $18 or your toast. He cares about your soul. If you don't care about him, you'd be toast, amen. If you don't trust him. But the truth is, Jesus Christ did die for your sins, and he did shed God's blood on Calvary. And he's not in that grave because he come out of it.
Amen.
And he's coming back. Are you ready? Have you been born again? Have you trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? That Bible says, for all sin to come short of the glory of God, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That book says that if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I'm not talking about, have you joined a church? Have you been baptized? Did you get religious? Did somebody else pray over you? I'm not talking about any of that stuff. I'm talking about, has there been a time in your life when you realize you deserve hell, and if you drew your last breath right now, you'd split hell wide open, wouldn't be nothing you could do about it, and you'd deserve it, and you realize Jesus Christ paid your entire debt, and you said, Lord, forgive me and save me. I want your salvation. Has there been a time? Because if there's never been, I'm not talking about a process over 20 years where you believe the Bible is real. I'm talking about a time where you got born again. And if there hasn't been and you die right now, you'll die and go to hell. That's just the truth. And you know what else the truth is? If you're saved, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And your works will be burned up. Probably most all of our works. There won't even be much of a fire, some people's works. Some people didn't do anything. But you're running out of time to do something for Jesus Christ. You're running out of time. And that's the truth.